This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, 1 hour to go, 60 minutes on the clock as we take you through the show all the way to 4 o'clock. Then the Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Man.
You had a hell of an evening last night.
Last night, I cured my glaucoma.
Again.
And ended up spending about 20, 30 minutes writing jokes about turkey bacon. And I just read it to you. And it was the dumbest thing I've ever written in my entire life. But at the time, I thought I was the smartest joke writer on the planet. I was laughing, almost woke my wife up. And then I woke up this morning and I was like, did I really? Yeah, I did get high and write jokes about turkey bacon. And I read it, and I just read it to you guys. It was the dumbest. I would never, ever do this on stage.
You sound like my drunk buddy on open mic. He went up to open mic one day.
It was awful.
He was just absolutely hammered, and he got kicked out. It was the worst set ever.
Yeah. No, this was the dumbest thing I've ever written in my entire life. And that includes back when I first started and didn't know how to write a joke. And I was just like, well, you know, sometimes you write good when you're high. Sometimes you don't. Last night, it was a dump. So
there were parts of it.
You chuckled once.
Yeah, there were parts of it.
There's nothing to work with. I'll start over. I'll write some turkey bacon jokes when I'm sober, and maybe that'll go better. A lot of folks chiming in, though, on the food and the mm-hmm. chicken sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And it's split, just like the internet. A lot of people backing up the fact that they eat dinner Popeyes stuff for breakfast.
Yeah. That I believe that.
Somebody said, Mark Villalova said, what about a burger from Whataburger at 6 a.m. after a shift?
Now, absolutely.
To that specifically, though,
you're
getting off work at 6 a.m. and having a burger, that's not breakfast. That's dinner for you. So that I understand. It's just the time of day. When you wake up in the morning, when you wake up and the first thing you do is go and warm up some leftover Chinese food, that's weird. That's different. But after a shift, no.
I'm telling you, a lot of it.
Nope, you're not changing my mind.
I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm trying to justify the fact that you're calling other people weird just because they don't believe what you believe.
They're total weirdos.
I'm telling you, man.
The pizza thing is so common. To me, it's like the spicy food is a no-no. Like if you're warming up leftovers and it's spicy food, I'm not eating that in the morning.
Because then you're burping all day.
Yeah.
Amongst other things.
Yeah, see, Jason got mad at me. He said, Barry, you're a self-proclaimed Chick-fil-A homer, so that you have no validity in this argument. But I had both, Jason, and while I love Chick-fil-A, like I've said, I love Whataburger, but I don't like their French fries. Their French fries are bad.
Shut your mouth.
You gotta eat them right there. If you take Whataburger French fries home, they suck. They do. Hand them to you in the window and you immediately start eating them, they're fine.
So you can't drive 5 or 10 minutes and enjoy some Whataburger fries?
5 minutes away from Whataburger, and it's like a bank bag. You know how if you rob a bank and they put the dye pack in there and it explodes? There's something with the Whataburger's French fries that as soon as they're five minutes from Whataburger, they immediately shut
Most
down and go cold. They're awful.
They want to keep them hot, so they keep the bag all sealed up. And I've told you guys this. The key to keeping fries fresh when you drive away is to leave a little air in it. So you leave the bag open a little bit because otherwise it gets them soggy and cold quicker by
I don't do that, though. I leave the bags open.
Okay.
You get them home, they're bad.
I don't know. I think you got a bad
Whataburger. That was the funny thing to your chicken debate. The one thing that I did see other people say is while that whole debate was playing out between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A and everybody and Wendy's, they said McDonald's is quietly biding its time, hoping no one calls on them for their scrawny, weak $1 chicken sandwich, hoping the discussion turns to fries where they got a shot.
Yes.
And that's true. Because regardless of whatever, if you like McDonald's or you don't, but their fries are
amazing.
Outstanding.
Yeah, and you get them home, they travel well.
Yeah.
That's my point. Whataburger's French fries don't travel well. If you eat them at the restaurant, they're delicious.
I endorse spicy anything ketchup. Whataburger. So.
Yeah, but they don't travel well. You. McDonald's fries travel real well.
How do you guys think, by the way, that this new Beyond Meat Whopper is going to do?
Not good. Not good.
Because it's going to be really interesting. Because I told you guys when I was on vacation in California that a lot of the chains there, they have the Beyond. It tastes like meat. It looks like, but it's not. So, like, Chris Paul and D-Hop have been endorsing this for the burgers and some of the things. But a lot of the chains there, which is Del Taco is one. And then there's another one. And they do burritos, tacos, and other things. And I tried them. They actually taste good.
If I don't want meat, I'll eat a salad. I'm not going to eat a fake burger.
I think the other thing that people misconstrue if they do the Beyond Meat Whopper, that it's going to be like they think it's
healthier.
Healthier, which also means less calorie-wise.
Nope.
It's still the same sauces and everything on there that makes it a lot of calories.
That's right. Cheese and all that.
So I'm interested to see how that's going to play out.
Yep.
All right, Rich wanted to get in here before we switch gears on the chicken debate. Rich, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas? Love the show.
Appreciate you, Rich.
First of all, look, I eat anything in the morning. It doesn't matter if it's a hamburger, spaghetti, gumbo, fried fish. It doesn't matter. It's just food.
Turning my mic off, Rich.
This one guy told me, drinking a beer at 7:30 in the morning, we looked at him like he was crazy. He's like, man, the beer tastes same at 7:30 in the morning, does it 7:30 in the afternoon?
He's
I'm like, you know what? You're right. But on the chicken debate, I love Chick-fil-A. I mean, I use a Chick-fil-A app all the time to get free food. But that chicken, despite the chicken sandwich Chick-fil-A, that mug is the truth.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. It is the truth.
See?
Rich,
I haven't had the one from Popeyes, but I've been told, like you said, it was dry. You got to get the spicy mayo on it.
Mm.
And I don't know. I haven't had it yet, but yeah. Man, Barry, don't trip over by your wife eating stuff in the morning. Hey, man, it's food. Let it eat. That's less you got to worry about doing.
Rich, are you married?
Yes, sir. 15 years in the game.
She loves you.
See? Appreciate the call, Rich. Yeah, Rich said he'll eat anything in the morning.
She loves you.
I had to turn my mic off because I've already said one thing that could get
me
in trouble.
Your face was like, nope, I'm out. You did the shark take on me.
Put some goggles on and don't get pink eye, Rich.
Oh.
Eating whatever you want in the morning.
Thought you were out.
I didn't say it. All I said was put on some goggles and don't get pink eye.
Scarface.
I think we all know what the rules that applies to. So I've said it before. I'm not going to go down that road again.
That's Scarface.
That's a dirty road. I'm not
thought
going
down
it.
You were out
it.
And you came back in.
As soon as he said it, I was like, mic off.
Nope.
I'll eat anything in the morning. Oh, no, I'm not falling for that, Rich. You're not getting me suspended and kicked off the radio. I don't think so.
That was a good call, though, Rich. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that was a good call.
All right, so there's the Chick-fil-A debate.
Yeah.
And like I said, you guys, you helped in winning me over. But once I've had that Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich, I'll tell you this. In the Midwest, Hardee's. Hardee's had the best chicken sandwich growing up, but it was very similar to the Chick-fil-A, so I think that's probably why Chick-fil-A won me over.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
There you go. By the way, ATX Hobo Girl says, I don't stick to time restrictions on food. I prefer other countries' breakfast styles that aren't sugary trash.
What?
I guess that means you just like warm breakfast instead of like cereals or Danishes or... I brought donuts in for everybody today. You weren't here.
What'd you do that for?
Because Lisa got them and said you should treat your workers. And I said, thank you. I agree. And I brought them in.
Your workers?
The people you work with. Your coworkers.
Oh. And that she was implying that we all work for you.
God, no.
I downed a chocolate donut and a whole bag of donut holes to myself.
Nick had them holes in his mouth.
Yep.
For like 15 minutes before you got to the studio.
All up in my mouth.
Yep. And after a donut.
Yeah, I'm not getting me in trouble.
God, I said that quick.
Not getting me to do it.
Now let me ask you this. Josh Rapp brings up an interesting point.
Okay.
For every theory that you have, and it's weird if you eat dinner for breakfast and all that stuff, what if you're hungover?
That's a fact.
What if you're hungover? Because that's the key. When we used to be out drinking, the easiest way to get rid of the hangover in the morning would be to get some greasy food in you as fast. So you go to the burger stand. So you get the burgers and fries and things.
I've done that for sure.
I think for sure. Or pizza. That's why that stuff comes into play.
Bro, I don't want none of that when I'm hungover. I just need a Gatorade. I know people drink Bloody Marys. Oh, God. First of all, Bloody Marys in general are disgusting.
I agree.
If you drink Bloody Marys, slap yourself. That's gross. Those are disgusting. First, just in general, tomato juice.
Oh.
And then you're going to add spice to it and celery.
Yeah, I'm with you
on
that.
And vodka. That don't make it better.
I'm with you on that.
So gross.
My
dad and my stepmom and my younger sister and my older sister all love Bloody Marys. And I'm like, I don't even know you people. I must be adopted because y'all are weirdos.
That was a big thing in the Midwest too, Bloody Marys.
God, that's so disgusting. I don't know how people can drink a V8.
I'm with
those V8 tomato juices. What?
Yeah, I never liked those either.
There's not any time where you go, man, I really want to quench my thirst. I could really
yeah.
Or the commercial.
I really
could have had a V8. Well, and you could have actually regurgitated right there.
I really want a liquid salad right now. Ugh, jeez. It's disgusting.
That's kind of what I do in the morning, though, with my shake, so I can't really.
Yeah, but you add, like, apples or something to give it some sweet taste.
It's to kind of kill the bitterness. Yeah,
right. It's not just, you didn't just take pureed tomato juice.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Or tomatoes and just drink it.
No
way. Disgusting.
Ugh. Pink Valkyrie said she had, after the listener party, she had Cowboys and Indians for breakfast.
Okay. Well, that's weird. I'm not backing down from this. You guys,
what about a non-quesadilla? Yeah, what about a non-quesadilla with some scrambled egg in it?
Nope.
No, without the scrambled egg. Just the way they are.
Nope. Okay. That's weird.
But it has jalapenos in it, so you can't.
The only thing.
Put the 65 sauce on it? Then your spicy gets into it if you put the 65 sauce on it.
Somebody did say, what about chicken and waffles?
That's a big thing.
Kind of weird.
But that's kind of a breakfast.
I had chicken and waffles, but I had it for dinner. So, again, you can do breakfast for dinner. You can't do dinner for breakfast.
It's a split down the middle. It's chicken and waffles. I don't like it. You want to eat Slappy in here?
Yes. I feel like that's not their name.
I feel you're right. Slappy, what's up?
What up, Slappy?
Hey, what's going on? I just want to f*** guys for a little bit now.
Well, okay. You can't say the F word.
Slappy. I just want to F with you guys for a little bit.
Slappy.
It's not a podcast, bro.
Bro.
Welcome to the Howard Stern Show.
You can't lead with the F word.
We wanted to take your call, Slappy.
I know. What on earth?
Thought it had potential. Saw it on the board. Well,
you sounded upbeat.
Yeah.
Sorry, bud. You can't curse. That's it. You get the plug pulled on you right away.
Yeah, well, and we got it in time. So
yeah, we did.
There you have that. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Final hour of the show. We've got Aaron Sanchez on the mound tonight for your Astros in game two against the Tigers. And plenty more things to get to. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, well, give us a shout. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, and, of course, you can hit us on Twitter.
All this talk about Popeye's Chicken, and you know what? I know where you could get cash back when you went to Popeye's Chicken and tried their spicy their chicken sandwich. You can use the Get Upside app because that's one of the restaurants featured inside of the Get Upside app. They've got Wendy's. We talked about them earlier with their chicken sandwich. They got Burger King. They got Candelaria's Pizza. There's over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston where you can get cash back when you go there and order your food. You can get up to 35% cash back on your meals through the Get Upside app, but only through the Get Upside app. And you might be saying, well, why would I use the Get Upside app, Barry? Well, it's real simple. These businesses want you to go to them and not their competitors. So they offer you these cashback deals through the Get Upside app, but only through the Get Upside app. So when you use it, you get cash back. Like if you want to try, like I'm looking at a Popeyes right now that's up there on 610 on my way home. 20% cash back through the Get Upside app. How cool is that? You can go in and try the sandwich and then get some money back. It's that simple. There's no commitments. You don't have to lock in long term to anything when you use Get Upside. And it also works for gas. So if you're out there, do a lot of driving like I do, this can really pay off for you in the long run. You can start to build up money in your account every time you use it. It's that simple. You're already paying with a debit or credit card. Just upload your receipt, and within 24 hours, you've got cash back in your account. So, guys, do not waste another second. Don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the table. Download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Start getting that cash back, and thank me later.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel. Controversy, boys. If you look at the board right now, we have a rule. Once you call once for the day, that's it. So the fact that...
Sorry. Can't do it, Slappy. We heard you. We all three heard it. He's on the board.
Trying to plead his case.
No, can't do it, homie.
So just want to...
Maybe next time. It happens, man. We're not mad. No, nobody's upset. We caught it. We dumped
it. Station rules, sir.
Yeah. We love you, though. Call back tomorrow. You can even bring it up. We'll give you a pass. Normally, we don't go back and
bring it up without bringing it up, because otherwise we thought it was going to be a good call.
Call back tomorrow, because it sounded like it was going to be fun. It sounded like you were going to mess with us, and we're always about that. So give it a try tomorrow.
No question about it. What do you expect out of Sanchez tonight on the hill for the Astros?
I'm expecting something in between his last outing and his first outing. I don't think he's going to be as bad as he was his last outing. I don't think he's going to be as good as he was in the no-hitter. I think this guy's around a 4-4-something ERA. And if you could get that from him, if he can go six and give up three runs, you're probably in good shape.
Yeah, you know, I think, and here's the thing. The same way I don't want to discredit Brent Strom when he's out and people saying that he would have made a difference, which I don't buy into. The fact that he's back now, everybody's like, well, he's going to turn around Sanchez right away and do all these things. I don't think either way. I think he will probably provide more assistance, but I think it simply comes down to, as we saw this with Miley, we saw this, you know, when you and I were joking around back and forth and you were giving me heat about track record and everything with Miley. Some days you have it, some days you don't. And when you don't, you're going to give up runs. You know, the pitches that normally paint the corners, the breaking ball that stays low in the zone, gives you problems. And so, look, overall, so far, I would say it's been a success more than a failure having Sanchez in the rotation. But tonight, for me, is kind of like one of those games where you'll know exactly what you have after tonight. Nick, we were talking about sample size. I know it's the Tigers, but again, when I see the percentage of curveballs thrown and the locations, then I can tell you, hey, this is a guy that could really help them down the stretch and in the playoffs. Otherwise, I honestly, and you and I talked about
down
this.
Down the stretch, I don't think you're going to see him in the playoffs unless it's long and
we
middle
talked
relief.
About that in a SportsMap video, that I just don't know that he's going to be on the roster in the playoffs.
Yeah, he could very well not be on the roster, or could be a guy that you might see in middle relief. But then again, you're going to have to make those decisions as well, because think about your middle relief, your guys that can give you two and three or maybe even four innings. Nowinski's a guy that can go multiple innings.
McHugh,
Brad Peacock.
Peacock, right.
And then you would have Sanchez.
Now, we don't know what's up with Josh James either.
Josh James is another one. Yeah, there's a ton of other arms there, so there's going to be a lot of decisions that get made. I did like something I found interesting on the press conference after the game last night when A.J. Hinch talked about his bullpen and they asked about Will Harris. And he said, flat out, I trust Will Harris more than I trust anybody. He's been with me since I've been here, and I am 100% confident when I send him out to the mound.
You felt good saying that, didn't you?
That's just what A.J. said.
No, but you felt good saying that.
I'm just
There's
saying.
There's no doubt about it. Anytime you can hear I'm someone trusted saying. Will Harris, you got a warm fuzzy.
It didn't even register with me that that's me. What it was. But if that's what you're going to make it, but I didn't put those words into A.J. Hinch's mouth. He said those out loud on his own.
Do you think that if he didn't say that, you might have prodded him
I'm
to ask him again?
I'm just saying that Will Harris has a 1.69 ERA and no one else in the game last night had a lower ERA than that. I'm just saying that A.J. Hinch, the one guy that we all think knows what he's talking about, trusts Will Harris, but you don't.
Probably shouldn't have gone back to the Astros. Shouldn't have gone back to the Astros talk. I mean, I came out of everything
well
in the day.
After Rondon gave up the home run, I had to have something, Joel. Now we're back to even again, because I was in a deficit after that. It was awful.
You could have had a stewardess on that plane. It got out in a hurry. I mean, the vapors
and then
left.
He wanted to act mad. I was like, bitch, why are you mad? You're the one that threw the pitch.
I never want to hear that guy get mad if he gets left off a roster again and pout and doesn't want to go out for the intro line or everything like that. Look, you've had your chances, okay? God, he's annoying.
Well,
what?
I'm not. No.
Well, he's no Will Harris.
We've worn this out. That's true.
I'm telling you. Jeez.
Mary said, hey, this is Mary Gray's show. I totally agree with Barry. Whataburger fries are horrible once you leave there. I live 5 minutes away from a Whataburger, and I don't even order fries anymore because when I get home, they're horrible.
You know what? My Whataburger just fine, okay?
There's no way your fries are good when you get home. Do you live next to the Whataburger?
Literally,
do you
two
pull
blocks.
Out of their driveway and then right into your driveway?
It's two blocks. It's literally three blocks. I'm sorry, exactly
well,
three
Barry
blocks.
Barry says that's enough time to make them cold and not good.
Yep, three blocks. So I mean, he said five minutes. Yeah, well, it's like a 3 minute drive for me.
Okay,
but still.
So
I
then,
mean, even if it's a 3 minute drive, if you say they're bad by 5 minutes, by the time I get in there, and settle down, get a couple.
But you're eating them on the way. And there's no way you're,
for sure.
I was going to say, your fat ass is definitely
for
eating.
For sure.
Because there's no, sometimes I get home and my wife will be like, you didn't get french fries? I'm like, come on, girl, please.
I ate them
hoes on the way. What are you talking about?
That's the other thing.
I'll sneak eat too. Like, I'll get an extra burger and then eat that and she don't even know I had that burger. I ain't got no shame. I'll sneak eat.
Wow.
I'll eat fries from the other person.
Don't you start.
Fries.
What?
You won't steal food from your wife every now and then? From
Well, first of all, here's the thing. You got to understand the fries thing is like Lisa and Taylor, especially Lisa, pregnant Lisa, fries are like gold. So
prison cigarettes.
We'll order Chinese food and I'm bringing the food in. I go, why does it smell like French fries? And she's like,
I got fries.
And I'm like, you got fries at the Chinese place? She's like, any chance? Taylor will eat them. I'll eat them. I'm like, well, I know you'll eat them, but I just don't know that you order French fries at a Chinese place. But she does every time.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that.
I would. I wouldn't care. I love fries practically anywhere. It's hard to mess up fries, though. You know what I mean?
Somebody else.
Barry already said that.
Barry is right. That's why I substitute onion rings for fries at Whataburger.
Let me get a hold of this text line. Find some supporters.
I mean... Water fries suck. I can confirm that. I just had my first positive water fry experience as this conversation was happening. Just telling you, I speak the truth, fellas. And I know you hate to admit it. Fact is, five minutes, Whataburger fries suck. Period. End of story.
I mean, you eat way more than I do, so okay. I would expect you to have a better analysis.
This from a guy who had a donut and a bag of donut holes?
that was uncalled for.
Fantastic.
But when did I stop? I made a run this weekend to get Jack in the Box. And the wife, that's like I said, our text messages between my wife and me is literally just food orders. That's all it is. We don't talk about anything else. It's if she's on her way home, I text her what I want. If I'm going to get food, she texts me what she wants. But then I get this text out of nowhere. Not minding my own business. I just get a text, don't eat my fries.
She knows you.
Like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'll take a couple.
You skimmed?
But what's a couple? Define a couple. Like, did
Uber
you take
Eats,
two or
like
three?
Uber
or did
Eats
you take,
driver,
like, half the damn bag?
Can you imagine Barry as an Uber Eats driver?
Both of y'all can suck it. You've never gone home and been like, damn, babe, they barely gave you any fries. Knowing damn well you ate them. They'd be like, man, that's why I don't go to that place, man. They barely filled it up for you. My wife's like, I know. It's like, yeah. I don't know why that always happens when I go, but man, they just always stingy with the fries.
Barry has new Uber Eats driver. You talk about skimming off people's food. Be like, you don't need these fries right here. I'm going to take a little of these.
Be like, you wanted a pepperoni pizza. This is just the cheese. But what are all these what are all these circles in the cheese? I don't know. That's weird. It must have been the way the oven cooked it. I don't know.
Breakfast meat. It was breakfast meat. All right, we got a half hour to go in the show. We're going to take it till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. So there's still 30 minutes on the clock. Chances for you to join the show. Tweet, text, call. Usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I didn't hear you, so I'm good. Final half hour of the show. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I will tell you this, guys. One of the stories that got Lisa all worked up recently, obviously being in the news business. I don't know if you heard this story or not, but in New Orleans, there was a local TV anchor, Nancy Parker.
Yeah, I did see this.
And the station asked her to do a story on a stunt pilot. And you know how those things normally go. Then, you know, they get the crew, they go up with the pilot, they try and make the anchor woozy and possibly throw up.
Yep.
Yeah, So she went and covered the story. And as it goes, she's an award-winning journalist. She's 53 years old. She's got a family and everything like that. She and her cameraman showed up. The veteran pilot is a stunt pilot and had a lot of experience, J.P. Augustus. So they're doing the story on him. He took her up in his acrobatic and aerobatic plane. The plane crashed. And so now the FAA is involved, but needless to say, no one survived. And it is just sending a ripple through New Orleans and Baton Rouge and everybody in the area that knew her well, and listened and followed her every single day. And it's just a sad story because they were trying to do a good thing. I mean, you know, the guy was one of the world's few African-American stunt pilots over 30 years ago. You know, he was president of the Lake Charles chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen. You know, it was going to be a feel-good, warm story, and instead it's, you know, threefold, just a horror story.
Yeah, that sucks.
And it really rippled through Lisa because obviously now with a family and everything like that, it would change things even more. But,
sure,
man, just lots of thoughts and just sad story out of New Orleans.
Very sad. Yeah, Matt Smith tweeted us something earlier that I wanted to get to. I found this interesting. No, not Matt Smith. I'm sorry. It was Matt Smith's tweet, but the Texas Tiger is the one that sent it to us.
Okay.
And Matt Smith did the research. I haven't validated this yet. I'm assuming that his research is correct. It's the grand scheme of things is not that big a deal if any of this is wrong. But he listed out the dates of the first game for a college football team versus an AP-ranked opponent. So, in other words, when are these teams, some of the top teams in the country, going to play a ranked opponent for the first time on their schedule? For example, Auburn's first ranked game is August 31st. So Auburn wasted no time. Vandy has one August 31st. And I imagine it could be Auburn. LSU and A&M both have games September 7th. I want to say A&M's is Clemson, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, early on, that's true. Yeah.
But they both have games on September 7th against ranked opponents. You keep going down this list here. Second to last on the list is Bama, whose first ranked opponent isn't until October 12th.
Shocker.
Shame on you, Bama. And then Missouri's isn't until November 9th.
The biggest knock on Saban since he's been at Alabama is his non-conference schedule is always weak.
Always.
Really bad. And you look at it, I mean, Clemson, when you looked at we talked about the AP Top 25 in the preseason poll that came out, it's Clemson and Alabama. Difference is, like you said, Clemson's not only playing A&M, they're going on the road to do so.
Here's Alabama's schedule to open up. Duke, New Mexico State, South Carolina, Southern Miss, Mississippi, and then they finally go on the road and play A&M. A&M.
So after week two, then the SEC schedule starts. They can't do anything about that.
Sure.
But yeah, the first two games.
Southern Miss.
What I'm saying, but South Carolina is an SEC school. Yeah. So once you get to South Carolina, now you're in conference schedule. There's nothing you can do about it if they suck. But the games that you're picking?
They have three teams that are ranked currently going into the season on their schedule. Bama does. That being
the whole schedule?
The whole schedule. They have three ranked teams.
Oh, that's awful.
Going into the season. A&M at 12, LSU at 6, and Auburn at 16. But they played Mississippi State, not ranked, WCU, Tennessee, Mississippi, Southern Miss, South Carolina, New Mexico State, and Duke. And that's and when you go in ranked as high as they're going to be ranked at 2. What
the hell's WCU?
I don't know.
Western Carolina?
Western Carolina, the Catamounts. Oh. What the hell is a Catamount?
I know Eastern Carolina had that funny meow press conference that I thought was fantastic where he just kept meowing like a cat.
Catamount.
But Western Carolina, I don't know.
Why in the hell? A catamount is a medium-sized or large wild cat, especially a cougar. Nick out here banging catamounts.
You beat me to that one.
But why not just call yourself the Cougars then? Why you got to be all fancy, Western Carolina?
27 Cougars, like schools with Cougars as a team.
That's fine.
Well, how about the fact that the Cougars are taking on the Cougars early in the season when your Houston Cougars take on Washington State? I heard that commercial. I'm like, what are you doing in the kickoff classic? The Cougars versus the Cougars at NRG.
It's the U of H Catamounts from here on out. That's right. It's the Catamounts.
As long as you get rid of the siren, I'll make a deal with you.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I look at, and every year Saban takes heat for this.
Yep.
But as we get more and more into identifying the top four teams at the end of the year, as long as it's only four teams, non-conference schedule becomes more and more of a big thing. And you see, you know, you don't want to say, with Alabama's talent level, they shouldn't be scared of anybody. But they're always afraid of the big slip-up instead of just going and doing what they're supposed to do. You want the best, you got to beat the best.
Yeah, be like Clemson where they only have two teams that are ranked on their schedule.
Their whole schedule?
The whole schedule.
And one of them is the non-conference against A&M.
And then Syracuse. That's it. Georgia Tech's not ranked. A&M is. Syracuse is. Charlotte, UNC, Florida State, Louisville, Boston College, Wofford, North Carolina State, Wake Forest, and South
Wofford.
Carolina.
Wofford.
None
That's
of those
a
are
non-conference.
Ranked.
Wofford.
None of those are ranked. Yeesh.
Good boy. See, and I mean, I know how bad the ACC is,
yeah.
But you're scheduling Wofford. That takes away every bit of good you got for scheduling A&M.
There's no question either, too. Like some of these teams that they are afraid of playing, like these non-conference teams, they don't have enough talent, but they have just enough talent, and then it's going to be really hard for a program like Alabama to prepare for that offense in such a short amount of time. And so that's why they're afraid of
A&M has five ranked teams on their schedule.
Think about Carolina and Florida State, how much they hurt the ACC now by being down. When they're good, now you can say there's three, four teams at the top that are worthy of being ranked. But now, because Florida State had an awful year, Carolina's in flux, and you're like, man, they got no one there.
Yeah. A&M has five ranked teams. Proud of that.
That's good.
They got Clemson in week two. They got Auburn in week four, and Auburn's ranked 16. They got Bama in week six. And then to close out the year back-to-back, they have Georgia and LSU.
Oh.
Yeah. Tough schedule. Now, if they win one of those, that's good. I mean, any one of those wins, I mean, Auburn's probably going to be a good game. It's at home. But they're on the road for Georgia and LSU.
If y'all missed it, by the way, Jimbo joined John and Lance from College Station this morning.
Yeah, real low-key.
Really good interview. Yeah. Good
Doesn't
Lord.
Talk fast, real low key.
Man, he's like an auctioneer.
Jimbo Fisher talks fast.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Super I'm fast. Driving Taylor to work, and I was like, oh wow, they got Jimbo. Then I remembered they were at College Station. But then you could ask him like 15 questions. He'll answer them all at length, and you feel like there's still time for more because he's so quick.
Yeah,
guys, I'm just trying to get these guys, you know, ready to play football. They're gonna play as fast as they can. Got to do what they got to do. But I'm teaching play like winners. Play like you're gonna be undefeated. Then you deal with the details if you don't. That's why we play football. Man, he's fast. You got to get the people that are going to defend Alabama.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Rob wants to get in here on Bama's non-conference. Rob, what's up?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. First, I got to say, not a Bama homer. I went to A&M, so obviously the conference rival. But you got to remember that they make these non-conference schedules 5, 6, 7 years in advance, and Bama's played the opening kickoff game multiple times. They played Florida State and made them look silly. When they scheduled the game against Louisville was a national, top five, top 10 team. And yeah, they went downhill in a hurry, but they've been in that kickoff classic, the Atlanta kickoff classic, the one in Cowboy Stadium. They've been in it 3 or 4 times in the past 5 or 6 years. So, the other 2 or 3 non-conference have been bad, but that's every D1 team. Nowadays,
but okay, and I appreciate it. Right here, look, and I believe that they're going to start doing a home and home with Wisconsin coming up. So, and that's going to be part of the kickoff classic. But other than that, West Carolina. I mean, you look at the team that Bama has every year, and everybody says their second stringers would be D1s, and all of them are probably going to end up in the NFL. With all that being said, you got to play better competition than Western Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, play an ACC team. At least you're playing a top conference's teams. Instead, I don't agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, and I realize that every team schedules a couple of powder puffs.
Cupcakes. Yeah, they're
I get it.
And
it's a cash grab
for the smaller schools.
Sure.
But
the Citadel last year.
Oh, it's terrible. All right, Mark wants to get in here in A&M and Bama, too. Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
So, real quick, I mean, So, if Bama ended up, 11-1 and their loss was to A&M, and A&M ended up 10-2, but they beat Bama, and let's say they beat, Georgia and LSU, but they lost to Clemson and somebody else, how would you say that A&M is out of the top four and put Alabama in?
Even though
I know they'll make the SEC championship game.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, it's a tough – appreciate the call. It's kind of a tough question to answer because you don't know the particulars about the whole season. This is all just a guess. But, yeah, first and foremost, you start with the fact that they've lost two games.
Yep.
And then, I mean, head-to-head, they might, you know, if you're saying A&M has the win, but I think strength of schedule is going to come into play. I mean, there's a lot of things that will come into play.
And like you said, though, the other thing is going to be the conference championship game, yeah, because a lot of what will dictate, because the SEC is going to beat up on each other, that you're going to have easier to decipher who's going and who's not by the head-to-heads, and then who's playing in the conference championship game. Can in most cases, if you don't make your conference championship game, that means you've had a loss or two that you did, and so that basically is going to probably make you out.
Yeah, depending on what they do in the schedule, you could still lose to Bama and or beat Bama and not make the conference championship. Yeah. And that's, I think that's the point you're making. So, you know, I mean, most likely Bama's going to be representing the, you know, that side of the SEC. So I think once that happens, if they win that, then they move on, and it, you're probably going to see four conference champions. Usually, you end up seeing four conference champions: Clemson, probably Bama,
probably the winner of the Big Ten,
Texas. Or OU is going to be one of those.
And then either Michigan, Ohio State, or the winner of the Big Ten.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I'm not sleeping on the Pac-12, but it's competitive.
It's down.
It's down, and it's a competitive football landscape. And like you said, you got two teams in the top 10 in the Big Ten right now in Ohio State and Michigan. One of those probably wins their conference. I think the winner of the OU-Texas thing and how that conference shapes up. There's probably your four, because Texas is, I think, a top 10 team right now, right? Top 15. OU is definitely a top 10
that
team.
A&M, Texas are both in the top.
Yeah, top 12. So I think at the end of the day, Joel's point about whoever is representing SEC because they win the conference championship would be, that's how it would be determined. So even if they did beat Bama, and I'm talking about A&M to your question, they still, that doesn't guarantee that they win the SEC.
And the thing is, as much as we said the ACC is down, Big Ten's got six in the top 25, I think. Yeah. So then you know that the schedule
SEC
that they
has
played.
Four in the top 10. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know the schedule you played. If your conference is tough, then you're right. The conference champion's probably
going. All Clemson has to do is just not lose. And
I didn't
based
realize
on
how
their
weak
schedule
is.
Based on their schedule, that shouldn't be an issue.
And again, some not their fault because it's the ACC being down. But hey, I would think they should be
and
playing
I,
better.
Look, I get that you schedule in advance. That's been known forever. But still, the Citadel was bad when they scheduled it. You know?
Yeah, no doubt.
So
basketball or football,
right?
All right. Final segment of the show coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
Hey guys, on a day like today, it's raining outside, you're trying to worry about your roof. Maybe you've been thinking about putting a new roof on the house, so you've got a leaky roof and you need to fix it and fix it right. Well, get to Fitz Roofing. They're the people that do the best roofing deals in the city of Houston, Texas. Customer service, bar none, and they have the ratings to prove it. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. The bottom line is they have longer base warranties than your average roofer. You need the best, you go to the best. That's Fitz Roofing. Check them out, fitzroofing.com, or better yet, give them a call, 832-521-3001. You get a free no obligation inspection. They come to you, they check out what you got, they tell you what they can do, they go back on their way. If you want them to come back, all you do is call, and they do fantastic work using the best products. CertainTeed shingles, the best in the business. So much so, they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the U.S. meet the criteria to get that status. You need it, they got it. Again, you go to Fitz. Check them out, fitzroofing.com, or call them for that free no obligation inspection. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you guys being suspects. Sometimes there are just notes that get you and kind of motivate you to keep on trucking the way we do on this show, and we appreciate guys like Black Sheep. That was...
Yeah, man.
Appreciate great message today. Sent us a message and said, I just want to say thank you. I'm not having a good day mentally due to my PTSD. Your show helped me out big time. I can't thank you enough for brightening my day with your banter. It made me laugh so hard. hang in there, buddy. And anything we can do little like that that helps you, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. For sure.
Yep. So, do you want to get this?
Sure.
Bama Joe wants to talk about Bama QB and future.
I feel like we've spearheaded the college football fans.
Yes. Joe, what's up?
Hey, guys. Everybody talks about Alabama's defense, but I just want to give you guys a heads up. You got Tua starting this year with Mac Jones as backup, who Mac Jones is probably going to be better than A.J. McCarron or McElroy was. Then you got Tua's little brother, Tualia.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Paul Tyson, who is Paul Bear Bryant's grandson. Then you got Braxton Barker, who's redshirting this year. He's Jay Barker's son. So they've got a lot of offense coming in the future for the next 4 to 6 years.
Okay. Well, that's great, Joe. Then tell them to play a solid non-conference schedule, and we might have something.
I know about Mac Jones and Tua's brother. The rest of them, I wouldn't put too much stock in their lineage just because they're a relative of somebody.
But they still will get a scholarship.
Oh, well, they'll get a scholarship. You still got to go out and prove it on the field. And, you know, I'm with him. I think Mac Jones is a player. We'll see how Tua's brother pans out. That's always something where you,
He going to be good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, the rest of them, we'll see.
But my point is, you can have all the talent. We all know they got all the talent.
Tyson, he showed flashes, but then he ended up making some dumb mistakes. But it's going to happen.
Here's my thing.
He's young, but still.
We've never questioned the talent level of Alabama.
Sure, sure.
We know, like we said, they're too deep at every position with NFL talent. The bottom line is what we're questioning is the non-conference schedule. Play people. Don't be afraid. If you have the best talent in the nation, which it always looks like you do, then go play somebody. Don't play the Citadel in Western Carolina. Go play one of the top 5-6 teams in the Big Ten. Schedule some other teams.
I like Barry's point, too, because even back then, 6-7 years in advance, we all know those programs weren't going to get big. Like, you know which programs were going to get big and which ones are not. Just because it was scheduled 6 or 7 years in advance, to me, that's not an excuse.
I don't like Barry's point at all.
I think his headphones are...
I know that, but I'm just saying.
This is the perfect time to talk crap about Barry.
But here's the thing, Nick. Again, with what you're saying, what Barry said. But the bottom line is, you know where you get your guarantees? You go to the bigger conferences. Go to the Big Ten where you're going to have 5-6 teams that are in the top 25. So at least it's not a cupcake. Go and find someone in the Big 12 that you can play that's a top 5 team in the Big 12 at least. So at least you know it might be a competitive game for a while.
Right, and Barry's just annoying.
I can hear you now.
Oh, my bad.
My headphones died.
They died?
Of course, with 5 minutes left in the show. Here's the thing, though. You know that every team is going to schedule a couple of cupcakes, and I get that. And that's okay, especially one or two at the beginning, but you would love to see some of these schools take some of these out-of-conference games a lot more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that it's also beneficial for the teams that they schedule, like when Texas plays Rice every year, Rice gets a bump and you know,
they get a big financial bump.
They get a big financial bump, they get some exposure, some of these other teams. And you know, the beautiful thing about college football is those week one, week two upsets where we see teams out of nowhere, Division II schools come in and win a game. And it makes it a lot of fun, but I just think at the end of the day, if you want to be Bama and you want to be Clemson and you want to be taken seriously and you want people to respect you, then you would play some of the tougher teams. There are some teams in this country that don't necessarily schedule cupcakes for their entire schedule.
I agree with that. But when you look at it, too.
They have the opportunity to do so, and they don't.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, you control a lot of things. So at least if you believe your squad should be competing, because here's the thing. We talked about it. We talked about the NFL where the Saints kind of trip up early in the season. It's magnified more in college football. But you got a Florida Gators-Miami Hurricanes matchup in week one. That's huge. And you can still bounce back from that. They always say a loss early in the season, you can come back from. A loss late in the season is when we start getting into it. And that could cost you being in the conference championship game. And it could cost you a berth in the Final Four. So at least go out and play a tougher schedule early, because you'll probably get more bonus points because you played a tough non-conference schedule early on before you got into your conference schedule.
There's something to be said for it, and I understand, too, that, it, you know, game one, man, you hate to kind of go in and dig yourself a hole. You go and play a team that's maybe ranked 23, 24, right? And you think, okay, this is a good football team. Then you end up losing, and you really don't have any games under your belt for that season. You're freshman. This is their first action, and this, that, and the other. So I understand some of the logic behind it. But maybe have, I don't know, one of the two games. Maybe move up your conference schedule and play those powder puff teams, those cupcake teams later in the year.
Well, that also comes up because remember now, Alabama,
because they do one a year,
normally
yeah.
get one of their non-conference games late in the year, and you're looking at
a lot of people do that.
There's like six teams coming down to four spots for the national semifinals, and you've got two teams deep in their conference schedule that are playing a tough conference matchup, and you've got Alabama playing the Citadel.
And again, that's not, it's not just Bama that does that. A lot of teams do that. But I think part of it is, for me, maybe, you know, there's what, 12 games that these guys will play, that teams will play in a year. Yeah. They play 12, some play 11. I mean, if you want two powder puff teams, that's fine. But sometimes you'll see three and four. Plus, there's not everybody in your conference is going to be
good either.
So you already
got that. You don't have control of the conference schedule. And if they're soft and they're down, that's not on you. But you do control your non-conference schedule. And like I said, obviously there are schools out there to make a buck that know that they're going to just absolutely get wasted on the field. But they're going to put millions of dollars into their athletic budget. But you know that going in. So go pick a conference where chances are the team's going to be a good Division I program that at least may put up a fight.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like you could take away, even if you're like, okay, well, don't necessarily schedule an out-of-conference juggernaut. Like, you know, Bama and Clemson to open the season would be almost counterproductive to the
season.
That's
too big. Yeah.
But what if you knocked off one of those cupcake games at the end of the year, like WCU that Bama's going to play, and just add another SEC team from the East, right? Because you're already going to play everybody in the West. So just add another SEC team, whether it be in the middle of the pack or at the bottom.
Or go to the Pac-12 and say, you know what? You guys are trying to make a name for yourselves again. But it's a big conference, and you could schedule an Oregon or UCLA or USC or something like that. That's why Notre Dame, for the conference, I mean, for the schedule that they schedule, you know what? When you look at it, their non-conferences are Michigan, Michigan State, USC.
Well, they have to because they don't have a conference.
I mean, but I'm saying, late in the season, they're always playing big-time teams from big-time conferences. That's what I meant, because obviously as an independent, it's tougher. But at least you can never say, wow, that's a cupcake. They play Stanford. You know, they play a ton of big-time ranked teams. Normally nationally ranked schedules, and now I know you're going
to
bring it up.
This but might not be the SC year to bring that up. Yeah. You know how many ranked teams Notre Dame is playing this year?
SC has been ranked, I think, in preseason for the first time like since 2005.
On Notre Dame's schedule this year, they have three ranked opponents, and Stanford is 25th, barely ranked.
Michigan State?
They've got Michigan is 7, and Georgia at 3.
Are they playing Michigan State?
That is the only ranked team, no.
But they went out to schedule Georgia. Georgia
this is Notre Dame's
schedule.
Louisville, University of New Mexico, Georgia, UVA, BGSU, USC, Michigan.
Bowling Green State University.
Virginia Tech, Duke, Navy, Boston College, and Stanford. That's their, let's see, Stanford. Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Three ranked teams, and one of them is 25th.
Well, we're glad we woke that sleeping giant and got some college football.
Feels good to be talking college football.
Very good stuff there. So we can continue that tomorrow. Way back Wednesday, have we picked the theme yet? Have we picked the
97.
Theme
88, songs from 88 or 97.
Okay, there you go.
I like it.
Either year.
Cool.
Because
the Texans are either going to go 8-8 or 9-7.
What about 6-10? Well, that's a bad station. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on tomorrow with a Way Back Wednesday. Until then, the Blitz is coming up next. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. Here comes AJ, Fred, and Aaron right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy. ESPN 97.5.